So we've been talking about the employees of the accuser, and it's from chapter 4 of this book, Those Who Accuse You. We have established who the accuser is according to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The devil, Satan, old dragon, old serpent, they are all names of the same person. And that is the devil. I think his most popular name is the devil, followed by Satan. And I think the least popular name is Lucifer, you know. So I think his first name is probably devil, and then devil, Lucifer, devil, Satan, Lucifer, dragon, accuser of the brethren. All right. So we talked about how he engages people. Right? Mm. He engages people, and his favorite really are people in the church, if it is possible. Because when you're riding on people in the church, you get a free ride into the church, and sometimes free ride even to the front row all the way, or you get a free ride all the way into the choir, or all the way, some significant place. If you're riding on a believer, you get one of the best seats in the church, you know. But if you're riding on an unbeliever, he may not even come to church. You get it. So the devil likes to use and employ certain people, right? And we're going through the list of the more common people or the more prone people who will be used by the devil for such things. Amen. Accusations. Number one is evil men, that people who accuse people often are themselves evil, and they are often guilty of the things they accuse others of. And that's one of the reasons why they are able to recognize it so easily, you know, because they themselves are like that, and they imagine that you would also be like them, right? Another one is bitter and unforgiving people. People who are bitter and unforgiving. Bitter and unforgiving people. And those also would tend to accuse you. They would tend to make themselves available to the accuser of the brethren and to be used to accuse you know, the brethren. So it is important, if you don't want to fall prey to the enemy in this particular area, learn to overcome your hurts and learn to overcome your bitterness. Hallelujah. I pray that God will give you grace tonight to forgive anyone who has offended you, and also to overcome any bitterness that continues to linger in your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the third group of people, insecure and jealous people. Insecure and jealous people. And you see this one mostly in relationships, that when you're in a relationship with someone who is not secure and who is jealous, often they would tend to be accusers. They would tend to accuse you often. They will always accuse you of something. The way they ask a question is to accuse you of the thing so that you can defend yourself. But sometimes the way they control you and prevent you from doing something is to accuse you in advance of it. You know, so once you are accused in advance of whatever it is, then you know to avoid it. Do you see? If he doesn't want you to go to the left, he accuses you of having gone to the left. Then it causes you to develop resentment for the left and start going in the right direction, which is where he actually wants you to go. Do you see? Or she wants you to go. And that way you find people becoming manipulative and controlling people unnecessarily in their relationships. And I know many people who end up becoming like prisoners. Their normal free life goes away, you know, and you see that over time they have turned themselves or have been turned by their spouse into someone who cannot express themselves, someone who can't relate with people anymore. All the important people in your life are driven away, they are cut off, and you're just left with you and your accuser. And that is not a good way to live, or that's not a good way to make someone's son or daughter live. Hallelujah. And the Bible says,
amen,
there is no fear in love. If you really love someone, there is no fear towards the person. In other words, there is security in genuine love. And when you love someone, you allow them to be their best self, and you allow them to express themselves. You allow them to have good relationships, beneficial relationships, you know, edifying relationships, encouraging relationships, which end up making the person more complete. And the more complete your spouse is, the more complete your beloved is, the better a beloved or spouse they become, you know, towards you. And you are the one who gains in the end, all right? So let's be very careful of that. Insecure and jealous people. The next one is fearful people, who are also very closely related to the previous group. And the classic example is the man in the Bible who was given talents, who said he was afraid and went and hid his talent. And he accused the master, you know, he accused the master of being a hard man, reaping where he has not sown and gathering where he has not strawed. How do you accuse someone of reaping where he has not sown when he has just sown a seed into your life? You know, when he has actually just given you something, and yet you accuse him of not doing exactly that. But that is because he was afraid. He, the one who received the seed, the one who received the talent, he was the one who was afraid, but he put everything on the master as though it was the master's fault, when he was actually trying to hide his fear. Hallelujah. So
amen.
Fearful people will also tend to become accusers, or are more prone to becoming accusers or employees of the accuser of the brethren. So do well to rise up above your fears. The Bible says,
amen,
God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. What God has given us is power. What God has given us is love. And what God has given us is a sound mind. God has given us sanity. God has given us the ability to think correctly and to think clearly. God has given us the ability to walk in love that has no fear in it. And God has given us power, boldness, courage. These are the things that God has given us. So if you have fear, fear of losing your spouse, fear of losing the relationship, fear of even someone cheating on you, do you see? Those fears will tend to govern the relationship, shape your behavior, and then eventually what you fear is what happens. You know, so you must be careful not to live your life in fear, and learn how to walk in boldness and courage, and leave people in the hands of the Lord. Commit people to the Lord. You know, the Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He would be a better watchman than you, who slumber and sleep all the time. You see, you can't follow your spouse everywhere. Your eye can't follow your spouse everywhere. You can't search his or her phone enough. You can't go through all the numbers. You can't, you know, analyze who is Susan. Who is this Susan? How many times has she called during the week? You know, she calls at this time, this time, this time. She seems to have, you know, and you're creating a graph and charting the patterns of the phone calls and everything. I mean, it's too much work. Leave it in the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. Leave
it, amen, in
the hand of the Lord, and let God watch over that which concerns you. Can I have a louder amen, please?
Amen.
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 Can I have more of you unmuted so I can have not only two or three loud amens.
Amen.
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 Powerful. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Take that. Amen. Okay. Now, today I'm going on to the next group of people. And the next one is men of hatred. Men of hatred. That is people who have hatred in their hearts. When people hate you or have hatred in their hearts, there are many different manifestations of hatred. I mean, of course, a common one is discrimination, which has been the subject of discussion and talk, you know, all week and in the recent days because of what has been happening, which you all know about, right? But discrimination is not the only manifestation of hatred. It is true that when people hate you, then they discriminate against you. That is true. But in addition to that, when people hate you, one of the things they do is to accuse you, Accusations are one of the evidences of hatred. You know, when people have hatred, they will tend to accuse you. Now, John chapter 15, verse 25. Okay, I see why you went on mute. You can stay on mute. I get it. Okay, right. But just occasionally, just unmute and say amen and go back and mute. Okay.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
So now, John chapter 15 and verse 25. John chapter 15 and verse 25. John 15, verse 25. It says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause, right? So accusations are manifestations of hatred. And Satan uses people who hate you to accuse you. And your accuser is the one who hates you the most. Hallelujah. Amen. Your accuser is the one
who hates
you the most. That means you cannot claim to love someone when you're always accusing them. Do you see? You cannot claim to love your wife when you're always accusing her. And neither can you claim to love your husband when you're always accusing him. You know, and what actually happens often is that you find people doing the opposite thing and making the claim, making a claim to the opposite effect. Do you see? So, for example, you can have someone always accusing someone because their accusations are their expression of love and concern. You see, they say that I'm only saying these things because I care about you. I'm only saying these things because I care about you. I'm only saying these things because I care about you. When the exact opposite is what is true, do you see? Because you cannot claim to love people that you accuse all the time. You cannot claim to love people that you accuse all the time. Rather, it is a sign that you hate them, you know. And when people hate you, they wish for your downfall. They wish something bad will happen. When people have hatred in their hearts towards you, they are always hoping, they live constantly in hope that you will do what they expect you to do so that you can prove them right, you know. And they are just hoping that something will happen so they can say, "You see, I told you, this is what I've always said. This is what I've always believed. See, this is what I've always thought." That is how people who hate you manifest their hatred in with accusation. Hallelujah. They wish you caught up doing something You know, you'll be caught doing something embarrassing so that you can be mocked, so you can be laughed at, you know. And these days, I see a lot of people who wish for churches, wish for pastors that something bad will happen to them. You know, there's a lot of hatred for ministry. There's a lot of hatred for people who minister, for church work, for workers of God, people who work for God. And I see that it's actually an attack of the enemy to discourage preachers, to discourage pastors, and to discourage people from doing the work of the Lord. And I pray that the enemy will not use you to bring discouragement to someone who has set themselves to work for God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
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 That the enemy will not use you to discourage someone and use you to. When we love people, we don't wish that something bad will happen to them. When we love people, we rather wish them well. The Bible says love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rather rejoices in the truth. You know, when you love someone, you don't wish that something bad will happen to them, even if you've told them before, even if you've warned them about it before, even if you've always talked about it. If you really love them, you wish for the best. Hallelujah. You wish.
Amen.
You're not looking for an opportunity to embarrass them. Rather, when you love people, you cover them. Love covers. You know, sometimes people accuse churches, even accuse pastors of covering people who have sinned. Do you get it? And I just wonder, what else do you want us to do?
Hmm.
You see, that because someone has sinned, because someone has made a mistake, they must be exposed. No, shame must be covered. Shame and embarrassment is always covered. When something is not nice, when something is ugly, cover it. Now, covering something doesn't mean you are condoning it. It doesn't mean you are abating it. It doesn't mean you support it. It doesn't mean you are in agreement with it. When you cover something, that's not what it means. Otherwise, when you go to the hospital and the doctor pulls the screen while he's treating you, you have to say it means he wants to encourage the disease to multiply or to. What was he trying to do? But what he's doing is that he's covering the thing while he treats it, you know? And
who
don't need to see the treatment, you know? And it is only people who need to see it who must see it.
That's right.
And there are certain things when they happen, it is only those who need to hear about it who must hear about it. That is how it is.
That's so.
When something is not nice, you cover it. If you accidentally sat in something and had a stain on you at the back of your pants or something like that, that's when people untuck their shirts. You get it? They cover.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you see ladies wearing certain funky hats and so on, it's a message about the hair. That's
what messy.
Messy. Messy. I see.
You see that anything that's not nice is covered. In real life, anything that is ugly is covered.
Mm.
It is only when it comes to the house of God, and especially when it comes to, let's say, men of God or leaders or someone significant in the house of God who makes a mistake or who falls into sin or something, then people feel that that must be exposed. And what it does is it reveals the hatred in the hearts of people for the person.
Mm.
Yes, that's what it does. Look at the scripture. The Bible says another verse. Yeah. Well, those are all our church members, so they're allowed also to express themselves.
Amen.
Right, look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, actually, chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Can you see that?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you have to understand that there is a difference between covering something and condoning something. Mm-hmm. You know, when you cover something, you are not necessarily condoning it. Yes, you can cover something because you're condoning it, but covering does not always mean that you're condoning it. Covering just means that I'm covering it. So you're protecting it, because if you love the person, you will protect the person. Hallelujah. And when you look at the scripture, it says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Okay. When you love someone, you say, it's all right. Let's just keep it right here. Let's settle the issue. Let's talk about it. Whoever has to be rebuked is rebuked. Whoever has to be corrected is corrected. That's what love does, right? The other verse is in chapter 17, verse 9. Look at it. The other one is in chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Can you see that?
Hmm.
Can you see the verse?
Yeah.
It says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love.
Hmm.
But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends.
Very friends.
Yeah. Very friends.
Very friends.
Do you see the thing? And yeah. Some people who are good at separating very friends. You see? Yeah. And it takes years and years and years and time to build a very friendship.
A very friend, yes.
A very friend, that's the word.
A very friend, you see. And the Bible says people who repeat issues are like that, you see. But the one who covereth the transgression, it says he's seeking love. It says your pursuit of love will make you cover a transgression. Do you see? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Make you cover a transgression. Yes, it will be revealed. Yes, it will be discussed. Yes, it will be addressed, but it will be addressed by the appropriate people, not just for show, not just for the sake of a public announcement, not just for the sake of just broadcasting a matter or embarrassing people. You see, when people are talking and want things to be known because they want to embarrass the person, often it is inspired by a deep-seated hatred, which they sometimes are not even aware is there. They don't even know how much they hate the person. They don't know that they really don't love this person. That's why you're going from house to house. That's why you're going from person to person, broadcasting the matter. That's why you're going from place to place, telling the same tale and telling the same story. Some people feel good when they can announce the story or the downfall, you know, or the fall of someone, you see, because it makes them feel not so bad after all. That,
mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one who falls, or I'm not the only one. Yeah, even this one is so and so. Even this one is so and so. And if the person is a pastor, it's even better, because that's the one.
Forgive.
Even if the pastor is calling them, how about me? I'm even cool. Do you see? And that's how people behave. But God deliver you from working for the accuser in this way, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We'll be filled with hatred. None of us will. We will rather. We'll rather love the brethren. The Bible makes it clear that when you're a Christian, you must love the brethren. 1 John, go to 1 John. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 John 2 verse 9. He that saith he is in the light. He that saith he is in the light. Say, I'm in the light.
I'm in the light. In
the light.
Say it again. Say, I am in the light.
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 So that means this verse is talking to you. All right. It says, he that saith he is in the light, just like you just said, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now.
Mm.
You see, he that loveth his brother abide in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Hallelujah. He says, he that hateth his brother, verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eye. You see, that darkness hath blinded his eye. That darkness has blinded his eye. So when you do not walk, when you are not walking in the light, when you are not walking in, when you are walking in hatred, you are not walking in the light. And so most of the things you do will be wrong anyway. And he says you don't even know what you are doing. You don't know it. The darkness has blinded you. So the darkness of your hatred has blinded you to what you must see. That's why most of the things you are even seeing and thinking are wrong. Because you can't see. This is the reason why Jesus said that you must remove the beam from your eye first before you can see clearly to take away the mote from somebody's eye. Because your beam is blinding you. See? Yes. Even though you think the other person has a speck, your beam, the beam that you have, is making it difficult to see his speck properly. And so Jesus said, ignore his speck and deal with your beam. You know, and once you deal with your beam, you'll be able to see clearly to handle that speck.
That's right.
You see, yes. And he says here that a person who is walking in hatred, if you are, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That means the one who is in the light loves his brother. He doesn't hate his brother. You see? So if you claim to be in the light and you have brethren, there are brothers and sisters, you can't stand. You know? There's some people who want to transfer sometimes to another church just because of another person. It's like, I can't deal with your presence. You and I cannot be in the same place. We can't worship together. You know, when I lift my hands and I raise my hands and I turn to the left and I see you, I don't see God anymore. So
this is wonderful.
Your presence is blocking my view of God.
Ouch.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't see God because I'm seeing you, you know. I can't be there. I mean, this kind of hatred is not Christian. That's what the Bible says.
He
says, you have been in darkness all along. You see, he where's that part of the verse? He's in darkness even until now. That's it, verse 9. You see, it says he's in darkness even until now. That's, the Bible never acknowledged that you are in the light. He only said, you say you are in the light. You see, that first means that even your claim to be in the light is questionable.
That's deep.
He didn't say you are in the light. He said, you said you are in the light. But from your hatred, he said, from your hatred, you know, he's telling you that it looks like your effort to enter the light didn't work.
No, it didn't.
That you are still shock. In the darkness until now, even until now, up to where that hatred is being discussed. Are you following what I'm sharing with you?
Yes, Apostle.
You are blessing us.
Even unto now. Verse 10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, there's none occasion of stumbling in him, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. You see, your whole life is lived within the context of darkness.
Mm.
You see, yes, and knoweth not whither he goeth.
Knoweth not.
You see, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And it is true. When someone is walking in hatred, you see that hatred clouds their judgment.
That's right.
See everything through the lenses of that hatred. Yeah. You see someone who has developed a hatred, sometimes even for the opposite sex. You see, they can't see anything good about the opposite sex because they are wearing some lenses, thick lenses of hatred, you know, through which they see everything. They see the opposite sex through those lenses. And so the image always the same. They see it in everything. They see hatred. They hate women. They see it. They hate every woman. Basically, they just see. They hate every woman because that hatred has blinded their eyes. They hate pastors. They see and have the same attitude towards every pastor. If they hate churches, they have the same attitude towards every church. You know, they'll just make a small disclaimer. I know not every church is bad. I know that. But right after that, they proceed to hate every church and to brand all churches together, put us all together in one box. Are you understanding the word of God?
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
One more verse or another verse, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This one is wonderful. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Then it says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Wow. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Wow. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So what it means is that one of the proofs of salvation, according to this verse, one of the proofs to yourself that you are saved is your ability to love the brethren. Ability
Amen.
To love towards the brethren. The ability to forgive the brethren. The ability to flow with the brethren. The ability to relate with the brethren is one of the signs that you are truly saved. Because we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Yeah. It is true that when people get saved, they don't change physically, you know. If you're as dark as I am, you know, if you have, you know, see, I'm dark, you know, I'm a dark black man. I'm a dark black man. You see what I'm saying?
Apostle, you're brown.
See, yeah. You have to remember Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, they do matter.
So, you know, when you're saved, you don't become a lighter color because you got saved.
No.
Do you see? You're the same. So, and you don't become taller. You don't become shorter. You don't put on weight because you got saved. I don't know about losing weight, maybe something.
Fasting.
Every praying, every fasting.
That might change something.
Only just get no breakfast.
Fasting could change the waistline a little bit. You know, generally speaking, salvation doesn't change a person physically in that natural sense. So how are you going to know that you are saved? Because right after you say the sinner's prayer, a week after you say the sinner's prayer, 2 weeks after you say the sinner's prayer, you're pretty much the same person. Yeah. So God has given us one of the ways we can tell that our salvation is real. Do you see? Many times the devil comes to people who are genuinely saved and tells them that your salvation is not real. I mean, I was one of those people. I gave my life to Christ several times, so many times, until one day when I went forward to give my life to Christ, my senior in the Scripture Union came to tell me, it's enough, you know.
What a shock.
You don't have to come forward anymore. I tell you, every time they made an altar call, I would to give my life to Christ. Because I didn't feel saved. I didn't feel saved. Mm. See? Yeah. But the Bible is saying that one of the ways you can test and verify your salvation, you know, one of the ways you can confirm that your salvation is when you find yourself having the capacity to love the brethren. Mm. Yeah, when you find yourself able to do it, I can love the brethren. Yes, you see. Now, does it mean that you will not have issues with the brethren? Yes, we do have issues. You know, in every family, there are issues. As people get close to each other, they step on each other's toes. In fact, the closer you get to people, you increase the likelihood of stepping on their toes. Literally, if I start walking towards you, as I get closer and closer to you, I increase the probability that I would step on your toes. No. Mm. So when people are closest, that's when they step on each other's toes. So in the church, there are issues. In every church, there are issues. In fact, but the ability to overcome the issues and not to allow the issues to linger such that unforgiveness allows it to carry on, and the issue carries on, and the thing, the anger, then progresses into bitterness and then crystallizes into hatred. Mm. You see, now when that progression continues, then according to the scriptures, it's a sign that you are still in darkness.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you see? It's a sign that you're in darkness. Because if you actually made it into the light, you should be able, you know, you should be able. God will give you the grace. God will give you the ability. He gives us the ability, you know, to go beyond the issues and to go beyond the heads and for our hearts to heal. Do you see? And so if you're continuing to hold on to unforgiveness and issues and so on like that in your heart, I want to invite you to pray about it. This is one of the reasons why you must come to the Flow prayer meeting, because the Flow prayer meeting, we pray these kinds of prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And God answers them. You know?
That's right.
God will give you the ability to walk in love, because love is a spiritual thing. And the more of God you have in you, the greater your capacity and your ability to walk in the expression of love. Because the Bible says God is love.
God is love.
The more you have, the more love you will have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The more godly you are, the more love you will have. You see? Yeah. Now look at this other last verse, or last but one verse. John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. We're reading all these verses from First John chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Mm-hmm. Can you see?
He missed it.
Then it says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen. Do you see? How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. The commandment is that if you love God, then love your brother also. If you love God, then prove it by loving your brother also. Jesus told us that the greatest commandments, number one is to love God, number two is to love your neighbor. And so if you love God, the Bible says, just move on, love your brother also. But if you love God, but you hate your brother, you know, you are in worship and you open your eye and you suddenly see your brother and you make some remark, you know, in your head, or think some negative thought towards your brother. And after that, just continue and just say, Lord, be magnified, oh Lord. You know, when you look at your brother at the end of the service, you see what's
going on. Lord.
As I was saying, Lord, be magnified, Lord. You know, you are my only Lord. You know, Lord. Then right after the service, you see your brother, you walk past him. Some Christians are very good at that. They're good at seeing you and pretending they never saw you. Yeah. Some people are very good at that. They're good at seeing you, pretending they never saw you. In fact, because of you, they don't stay long after church.
That's very true.
Because they don't want to run into you.
Mm.
I've been a pastor for some time, and I've seen long-standing feuds, Christian feuds, totally
family feud.
Wow.
Totally non-responsive to any preaching, not non-responsive to any prayer, non-responsive to any fasting, non-responsive even to flow prayer meeting.
Hey, that's dangerous.
Thing is spoiling.
Hello.
Go to flow and come back and go to flow and come back and still I hate you. I can't stand you. If you do that, Satan will come and live in your heart. You know, and it is possible because your heart harbors the environment where he thrives, which is darkness. Do you see? Your heart is full of darkness. And Satan can dwell there, you know. So do not give Satan an advantage over you. Tonight, as I'm preaching, God is sending you one more grace, a wave of grace.
Thank you.
And you must allow that wave of grace to lift you and carry you once and for all out of the hatred.
In the name of Jesus.
You will never walk in hatred ever again. In the
Amen.
Name
of
Jesus. Amen.
Can I have
Amen.
Amen.
So love the brethren. Love the brethren. Cover the brethren. Amen.
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 Don't expose the shame of the brethren. You understand? Except to those who need to know and who can do something about it and who can address the issue. You know, just like the doctor does. The doctor that you can even walk with your wife to the hospital, you know. And then as soon as the doctor is ready to see her, he doesn't even want you to be there.
At all.
Yeah.
Do you see? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because some things are best handled that way.
Even
when Jesus was was raising people from the dead. Sometimes he would sack the people from there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to be here. You don't have to be part of this. You get it. And you should accept it when you are left out of things. You don't need to know everything.
Yeah.
Yes. The more you know, the greater your temptation to speak and to gossip and to say things. So it's better when you don't know certain things. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not knowing everything or not being told everything is not a sin.
At all. Mm.
Jesus said that I have many things to say, but you can't bear them. So I won't say it. You see, so not that it's not a fact, it's a fact. Not that it is not true, it is true. Not that it doesn't exist to be said, it exists to be said. The problem is the audience. You can't bear it. And Jesus said, because you can't bear it, I won't say it. I'll say only the things you can bear. I'll show you only the things you can see.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if I tell you this one, you will become a gossip. I'll give you a temptation to become a gossip. I'll give you a temptation to become a talebearer. Yes. I'll give you a temptation to become one who exposes and uncovers another person's nakedness. Are you seeing what I mean? Not know everything. So those who like to pry into issues, you know, you are increasing your temptation.
Mercy.
Temptation is all followed by evil. If you fail the temptation, you just land straight into evil. Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's like if we don't, instead of doing this, you see, or so that we don't end up in that other situation. Get it? So that is it. Amen.
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 To yourself, I will not be a person of hatred.
I will not, I will not be a person of hatred.
Say it again. Say, I will not be a person of hatred.
I will not be a person of hatred.
Amen.
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 Now, let me mention another type or another group very quickly before we close. Right? The next group is ungrateful people.
Ungrateful people.
Grateful people. When people are ungrateful, they tend also to be accusers of the brethren. We are talking about people who work for the devil without even realizing they are working for him. Right? One of them is ungrateful people. People who are not thankful for what they have received often have little restraint when attacking loved ones. You know, they are not thankful for what has been done for them. I don't owe you anything, they say. The Israelites accused Moses of trying to kill them. They were not grateful to him for delivering them from Egypt. And if you are thankful for the privileges that you have come, that have come to you through certain people, you would never want your mouth to be used to rain slime and vomitous and feces on them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? And it is true that when people are ungrateful and do not appreciate what has been done for them, they accuse, and they become accusers. You take, for example, the man who was accusing the one who gave talents. The master was going away and he called servants and gave talents. You know, he didn't have to give you a talent. He didn't owe you a talent. But he gave you a talent. To give someone a talent is to give them a chance.
That's right.
Yeah, he gave him a chance, but he didn't look at it that way. He didn't consider that he had been given a chance. He had been given a chance to prove himself, which if he was successful, he was going to create the opportunity for the next chance for himself. That's how people develop. That's how people rise. You are given a small opportunity, and when you're faithful with it, the next opportunity comes, and the next one comes, and the next one comes. So you see those who are given 5 talents because of their faithfulness were given an extra 5. Do you see? They were blessed. Those who were given 2 talents because of their faithfulness were given authority over a commensurate number of cities and blessing. Do you see? And the one who had 1 talent should also have appreciated, he should have been grateful that something has been given to him. Many times people are not grateful. When you're not grateful, you turn around and accuse someone you can be thankful. Someone who has been a blessing. You know, I pray that God opens our eyes to be grateful, that all of us will be grateful people. You know,
amen.
In our church, we are blessed to have so many things. We have been blessed to have lots of and years of good teaching. We have books. We have meetings. I mean, we have meetings. The problem is whether you will even attend them. There is no lack of meetings.
At all.
There is no lack of meetings. There is no lack of preaching and teaching. Recently, I was having a meeting with some people, and I was continuing to preach and to teach. And as we were going deep into the night, I was getting more energy and more fired. And I could see that they were all falling asleep.
Forgive.
And they went into waves of sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up. You could see that I had more to give them than they were ready even to receive. Do you see? These are the things we must look at. Do you see? There is no shortage of preaching and teaching. If you're looking for messages to listen to, I mean, the podcast is waiting for you, and the Makane is waiting for you. Then Makarios is waiting for you. Then the Ugalizo is waiting for you.
The Bosco.
Poimano.
Poimano, you see?
Yeah.
At a point, you even stall. Get it? You halt. 2, 3, 4, 5 opinions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
These are things to be grateful for. These are things to be grateful for. And sometimes your gratitude should cancel your criticism. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. You are so grateful that it's okay that this goes
right.
Because we're not a perfect church. Why are we not a perfect church? Because it's run by human beings.
Human beings.
You get it. But the most important reason why it is not a perfect church is because you have joined it. Do you see?
Yeah. That is true.
We were good until you joined.
<Are you sure? laughs>
Yes. But the truth is that anything that has human beings in it will lack.
Perfect.
Do you see? So I'm sure that we have some problems. I'm sure we have a lot of problems. If you're looking for them, that's all you'll find. You'll find one thing after the other. You'll find one thing after the other that's wrong. But if you choose also the path of gratitude, you'll find you have so much to be grateful for that it makes our faults and our shortcomings so little in your eyes.
Yeah.
And it makes it so easy to forgive them. Do you see what I'm saying? It is only when you take the things you're supposed to be grateful for, it is only when you take them for granted that that's how they are supposed to be, that our faults begin to be magnified and they begin to grow in your eyes.
Oh.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you realize when you're looking for something, you know, the things you meet or find on the way to looking for those things all don't matter?
Yes, that's true.
No.
when you're digging through your clothes and looking for a particular blue shirt or blue blouse, which one is it? Is it a blouse or a shirt? Yes.
Both.
The blouse shirt.
When you're digging through your things and just digging through the things, you come across others, but because that's not what you're looking for, they don't matter at that time.
Not at all.
Do you see? Then you find your blue shirt, and then you take it with you, only to remember that now you're looking for your socks, which you met on the way to the shirt. So your eyes see what you're looking for.
Wow.
You see, yeah, your eyes see what you're looking for.
And
if you will learn to be grateful, you see, you will realize that you will not accuse people. A lot of people that we accuse, they have been very good to us.
That's true.
Yes, yes. They have been very good to us. Look at this verse in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 32. John chapter 10 and verse 32. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" See?
Many good works.
Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? That for all the good things Jesus had shown them, he was surprised that they still had stones for him. They were ready to stone him. And he was surprised. And sometimes, you see, you look at people and you look at the stones we have ready to throw at people. And we should be thinking the same way, that for all the good things that this person has done, for which of them? You will see that if your focus was on the good things, there will be no reason to throw a stone. Yeah, you pack all your stones. All your stones. You can have a reason not to throw a stone even though you have it.
Yeah.
When a woman was caught up in adultery, the people arranged their stones in heaps, you know, and gathered ready to throw stones at her, just waiting for Jesus to give the go ahead. And they gathered. Then Jesus asked a question. You know, after he asked the question, suddenly the same people, in the face of the same facts, which were still true, you know, and the fact that she had been caught in the act of adultery and everything, all of that still remaining, couldn't now find a reason to throw the stone.
Wow.
So what it means is that if they had asked themselves that question that was asked to them before they arrived with the stones, they may not have come to the square at all.
That's right.
So you see, sometimes you feel like you have something to say and you feel like you have a reason to hurt and you have a reason to say what you're saying, but it is because you have not considered something else. That's why your stone is still in your hand. But if you were to consider something else, your stone, the other facts remaining the same, you may find yourself dropping your stone. Yes. Sometimes we live with people and then the relationship goes sour, you know, and so much is happening and we are ready to cast our stones. But it is because we have not considered something else. If we considered that other something, then the other fact still remaining the same. Yes, you are still caught in adultery and that is still true. You will still find yourself lacking a reason to throw the stone. you pack your stones and you just let everything go. Do you see? So being ungrateful is often unfortunate. You see, and it turns people into accusers, because people who are ungrateful are not considering what they should be considering. They are not considering the good they should be looking at. I mean, think about Moses. Moses took the people of Israel out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yes. But they were angry with him.
Mm.
They were very, very angry with him. They accused him of not allowing them to be buried in fancy graves in Egypt. Do you see? Yes, they have totally forgotten, which is actually the next point is those forgetful people. Forgetful people are the next group. Do you see? And it says, the children of Israel forgot how they had suffered as slaves. They forgot the experience of passing through the Red Sea. They forgot how the armies of Pharaoh had drowned in the Red Sea. They forgot how bitter waters had been sweetened by Moses. They forgot the manna that came from heaven. They forgot about the pillar of cloud by day and the cloud by night. They forgot how much gold they had carried out of Egypt. They complained and accused Moses of numerous unbelievable crimes, including evil intentions, murder, and genocide. Do you see? Psalm 106, verse 21. Psalm 106 and verse 21. It says, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. See, yes, God had been good to these people, and they refused to consider it. The Bible says they despised it. They despised the pleasant land. They took it for granted. They made little of it. They said, this is not a big deal. We could have had this. We could have had this. And sometimes when you're used to having something, you just think you could have had it anyway. You would have had it anyway. One day, a certain brother was very angry with his pastor. You know, a certain brother in another church was very angry with his pastor, and he was, you know, talking a certain way. And I remember talking to him and telling him, you have to be careful, because if it wasn't for this man, you would not be a pastor. He told me, I would have been a pastor somewhere else.
Hey.
Yeah, he said, I would have been a pastor somewhere else. You see, yeah. He said, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. And instead, they murmured in their tents. They murmured in their tents. And there are some of us who murmur in our tents. We complain in our tents. We forget the life that we had before. You know, look, before we close, let me just remind you very quickly of the kind of life that the people of Israel had before Moses showed up. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, right? Exodus chapter 3, and look at verse 7. Okay, this is where God is calling Moses. God is calling Moses. Remember the story of the burning bush? Now, God is calling Moses out of the bush, and God is telling Moses, he says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. So, first of all, Egypt was not like some very posh place where they were and were enjoying, you know, luxury lives and so on. That's not what it is. It was affliction in Egypt. The people were in Egypt and living in affliction. Do you see? And he says, and I have heard their cry. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So if anything at all, Egypt should have been, you know, and should have been or created a memory of what? Afflictions, cryings, taskmasters, and sorrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had turned everything around and they had forgotten. You see, they had forgotten. And usually when people are delivered from something, they forget.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's the purpose of scars.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe that's the purpose of scars. Because a scar is a reminder of what happened without the pain.
Yeah.
So that the pain of it is no longer there. But here is a little mark to remind you that once upon a time, something happened. You see, these people had forgotten. Egypt was a place of sorrows. And God said that, I am come down, verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. To deliver them. Even that itself speaks. If, you know, when you're being moved out of a country, and the word that is applied is deliverance. Do you see? The word that is applied is deliverance. Then it means you're in a bad situation in that country, no matter what country it is. Yep. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hivites, etc., etc., etc. Do you see? So this was the history. And yet, when Moses brought them out of this place, and they encountered some difficulties on the way out of this place, they totally forgot the experience. But you see, you are supposed to remember the past. Do you see? You are supposed to remember what you've been delivered from. And when you have that fresh on your mind all the time, it helps you to embrace the difficulties of where you are going.
Remember the past.
Yes, if you remember the past. If you remember how it was like when you used to be alone by yourself in your apartment with no husband or wife.
Ouch.
If you remember how many saucepans you have bent in an attempt to make something cook off.
Oh, no.
You get it. If you remember how many eggs you have bent trying to boil them.
And the bent rice.
Bent rice.
Do you get it? If you can remember how often you used to buy takeaway. If sometimes
McDonald's.
Loneliness. The loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you remember sometimes the loneliness. How you turned on the television and that day the volume was also spoilt and it wasn't working. Your TV refused to speak to you.
What a day.
If you remember how you used to take one phone and you would use it to call the other phone. You see, if you remember how it was like life by yourself, it helps you to embrace and to accept the weaknesses of what you've got or the shortcomings of what you have.
Thank you.
Yes, if you just remember. It is often because people have forgotten that they tend to become accusers and finger pointers at that person or that thing that came into their lives as an answer to a cry and a sorrow.
Hey. A cry and a sorrow.
Are you understanding the word of God?
Yes.
Only reason why God took people out of Egypt and changed their situation was because he had heard their cries and their sorrow on account of their taskmasters. That it was not easy in Egypt. But now, having come away from Egypt and having become used to being out of Egypt, do you see? They had now discounted the deliverance and had magnified the problems they were encountering on the journey. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes.
Yeah.
If you remember how you used to cry unto the Lord for a child. Yeah. If you remember how you used to cry unto the Lord for a child. And now the Lord has blessed you with children. And they have become your biggest problem. That same child is now your nightmare.
Oh.
You remember how it was when you didn't have a job? Get it? Now God has given you a job.
That's right.
Because of this one supervisor whom God has planted there to give you training in patience.
Humility.
Training in patience.
Patient and humility.
Because some of us are too proud.
Preach.
That's true.
Proud.
True. That's true.
Training in humility.
Yeah.
Yes. Need someone whom you can never please. No matter how you do your work, you'll find something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to remind you and to cool you down a little bit.
Cool you down. Cool down.
Because cool you also at home, no matter how the sheets are folded, nobody ever gets a pass. Do you see? Yeah. So God has allowed someone to be there. That person is training you. Sometimes in discipline. Yeah, discipline. How to get to work on time.
That's one.
And God is training you for that. So you have this mean taskmaster who will not let you off even 30 seconds after your time you're supposed to report.
Yeah. 30
seconds is as bad as 1 hour.
Preach it.
Even sometimes the discrimination that you experience, do you see? Yeah. It is to train you in how to persist forward in the midst of rejection.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Because even just being a Christian and evangelizing, one day when you go to do missions and go on a mission field and working for the Lord and so on, you're supposed to be able to survive in the midst of rejection. Yes.
Yeah.
So sometimes God is training you in that. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews, it says that even though Jesus was a son, he learned obedience to the things he suffered.
Learned obedience.
To the things he suffered. He learned obedience, even though he was a son. Jesus came to learn obedience here by being trained by wild people.
Wild wicked people.
Wow.
Wicked people.
Yes, because those people tempted him. That's why Jesus prayed that if it be possible, let me not go through this. If it be possible, do you see? He told the Lord, if it be possible, take this cup away. You see, but he learned obedience. He had to do what God had told him to do, what God had sent him here to do. Put that verse back, Hebrews 5:8. Put it back, you know. He says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Do you see? So even though you are a son, even though you are a daughter, even though you are a child of God, there are some things that God allows you to experience for your training. Yes, and for development as a person. And you should never think that you don't need training. You need as much training as your hair needs combing.
Wow. That's every day.
That's true. Wow.
Most of us will not be good if we are left the way God found us.
Yeah, that's true.
Like your hair being left raw.
Ouch. Bob Marley.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? You need training in how to talk. You need training in how to be respectful. You see, you need training. See, all of us come from homes fall short in various ways.
Yeah, that's right.
But for what God has purposed to do with your life, you're going to need supplementary training.
Yep.
You see, supplementary training as an adult.
Thank you.
Yeah, by an agent appointed by God.
Ajay.
An agent.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
People who forget often become accusers. And pray that you do not be like the people of Israel. They forgot.
Amen.
Amen.
Moses. They said Moses was a wicked man.
Hey.
Moses brought them before the Red Sea. They said, wicked man. He's depriving us of even
our fancy grave.
You know, just even a decent burial. Why didn't you leave us to die in Egypt so at least some of our neighbors will attend our funerals and make a donation? Here, as we are going to die here, who is going to make a donation at the rest? You see, and they accused them. They said bad things, I tell you. They said, Moses, I tell you. Didn't I tell you? His name is Moses. They nicknamed him the man Mo, our man Mo.
And two more.
Man
Mo. Mo Mo.
Our man Mo.
Our man is coming. Where's our man? You know. When they left Egypt, God gave them favor before the Egyptians. They went to borrow. They went to take loans. You get it. Even without collateral, they were giving loans. Bad credits, they were giving loans. And
these, no credit.
No credit.
All the loans, when they saw that the thing had brought them to the Red Sea, they said, what is the use of all these loans? They are
we're going to pay back.
No more.
There's nothing like Red Sea Mall or anything like that. And this money. You deceived us. We're wicked. And Moses was shocked. You know, have you ever tried to help someone and then you encountered a problem in the process? Maybe you ended up spoiling what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
And the way they turn around and jump on you.
Oh, yeah.
And they forget that they were in darkness. You stopped your car to help them. You only happen to have made their situation worse. They're supposed to appreciate the fact that you even remember and cared to stop. That's what should matter. Even before the fact that they broke your car and made it worse in the process.
Yeah.
Yes. It must be that if someone even counsels you to do something and the thing doesn't work out, you must be grateful first that he cared to counsel you.
Yes.
You get it? Yes. Of course, he's not God. He can never predict even the outcome of his counsel. But the fact that he cared to tell you what to do. He cared to share something with you. He cared to share a secret or a way forward, a way to do it. Because there are many people who know ways forward and they keep it to themselves. Yes. There are many people who have good things, but they won't even share it with you. They won't let you know they are hiring at their workplace. In case you go to the interview and you are not taken, then you start saying negative things about them. You know, they won't even tell you. Many people like that. But tonight, God is speaking to us. Amen.
Amen.
speaking to us tonight, and God is teaching us not to become people who forget. Okay, so don't forget, tonight we talked about three more groups of people. People who are filled with hate.
Hatred,
yes. Number two is who?
Ungrateful people.
Grateful people. And number three is
forgetful people.
People. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Bow your heads and let's pray, please. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that these three things, people filled with hatred and people who are ungrateful and people who are forgetful, none of these three will be applied to any of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, remove hatred from our hearts. We pray, Lord, that those who have hurt us, those who have hurt us, and those who sometimes have even been wicked and unreasonable to us, you will give us the grace, help us to overcome those lingering feelings and the recurring thoughts that reinforce the bitterness that is now turning into hatred and anger, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us to love our enemies, to love those who have despitefully used us, in the name of Jesus. Because hatred plays us into the hand of the evil one, Lord. Father, we pray for those who are angry among us, Lord. Angry people, Lord. The Bible says anger rests, anger settles in the bosom of fools. We don't want to be fools tonight. So we pray for your deliverance. Everybody open your mouth and ask God to help you. You know which area in tonight's message affects you. I want you to pray and say, Lord, please help me in the name of
Jesus.
Everybody pray, not open your mouth and pray and say,
Lord, not to be looking for success in people's lives. Help me, Lord, to remember your goodness.
Jesus' name,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Deliver us from hatred and from In Jesus' name we pray, Lord.
Amen.
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 Tonight, maybe you are watching the service and you know in your heart that you're not born again, I want to say a simple prayer with you so you can give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved. It is only then that you have the capacity to give people the capacity to overcome hatred in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray and thank you for everyone who is praying the sinner's prayer tonight, everyone whose heart you have touched to be saved. And I pray, Lord, that you will save them to the utmost in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Save them all the way in Jesus' name. Say with me, everybody, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I receive you as my Lord.
I receive you as my Lord.
And my very personal Savior. Please forgive my sins.
Please wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
Make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
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 Well, God bless you. Amen.